You see, a lot of times when we say think we're being frank, we think we're being having candor, we're just spouting off our anger. We're just venting our anger. And there's no value to that. That's nothing to be proud of. God says, be tactful and truthful at the same time. Number two, when I'm being served by people, I need to be understanding, not demanding.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a hold of a solid collection of teaching from Rick that will make a great addition to your audio library or a wonderful gift for a friend or loved one. It's called The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2. And you can find out more about it by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Showing Respect.
We live in a very rude world. Would you agree with that? Just people are becoming more and more rude. Common courtesy isn't so common anymore. I read a couple articles this week. One was called America's Uncivil Wars, the Decline of Respect in America. And another one that I read was called The Age of Irreverence. And it seems that respect for other people, respect for property, respect for institutions is at an all-time low. You look at how people have respected these institutions in the past, and today very few people respect the government, respect educational institutions, respect big business, respect the post office, respect law enforcement, respect religious institutions, and on and on and on. Our favorite kind of humor today is sarcasm. It's put-down humor. And every night, America turns on Leno or Letterman and listens to him just put down society. And the favorite target are those in authority, those who are in leadership, those who are to be respected simply because of their position. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that respect is one of those values that a stable family is built on, a stable life is built on. In fact, it's even the framework for a civilized society. If there isn't respect among people for rights and for responsibilities and for each other, then civilization decays. The Bible's real specific about this. It says that we are to respect people in authority, like those in government, those in law enforcement, those in military. We are to respect church leaders, whether they wear socks or not. The Bible says that wives are to respect and reverence their husbands in Ephesians, and the Bible says in 1 Peter that husbands are to respect and reverence their wives. And just in case God forgets anybody, he says in the Bible there in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's on your outline, he says, show proper respect to everyone, to everyone. He says everybody is worthy of respect. Now, you want to be respected. That's one of your basic needs in life. You want other people to treat you with dignity. And so today we're going to look at how do you give and get respect, because they're the same thing. The way you get respect is the same way that you give it. And that's what we're going to look at today. But before we do, let me just quickly give you four reasons why the Bible says you should respect everybody, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of their decisions, regardless of their behavior or their beliefs. The Bible says every person should be treated with respect. Why? Four reasons. Number one, because God made everybody. God made everybody. Psalm 8:5 says, you, God, made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. Everybody's created by God, and God doesn't make junk. There are no worthless people. There are people who do worthless things. There are people who do wrong things, but they are all of value to God. And even the most unlovable person is loved by God. Number two, because Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. The Bible says God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Now, I may not think much of somebody, but God does. In fact, he says they're worth dying for. And the cross shows how much people matter to God. God said, I died for people, even people who don't believe in me, even people who reject me, even people who choose to disobey me. He says, I still died for them because they're people of worth, they're people of value. God made them, Christ died for them. The third reason we should respect everybody is because it shows I know God. It shows that I really do know God. The Bible says that God is love, and if I know God, then I'm going to fill my life with love. 1 John 4:8 says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God. For God is love. And love always treats people with respect. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he treated even his enemies with respect. Even those who wanted to kill him, he wasn't rude to them. He wasn't demeaning to them. But he treated even the people who were trying to put him to death with respect. Now, if I'm filled with Jesus Christ's love, and if God is living through me, and Christ's Spirit is living through me, then I'm going to treat other people the way Jesus did. I'm going to treat them with value and with dignity. Yesterday morning, Kay and I had an argument. It's a typical marriage argument. One thing that we didn't, a big blow up, but we resolved it. But after that, we were talking, and I got to thinking that the number one test of my faith is my relationships. You might write that down. It's not what you believe or what you say you believe that matters as much as how that belief comes out in your behavior. The number one test of my faith is my relationships. Matthew 25, one of the things we'll be judged for at the judgment, it says, is how we treated other people. How we treated other people. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that love is not rude. So what's rudeness? I mean, we see it all around us, but what really is it? Well, at the bottom line, rudeness is simply disrespect. If I'm rude to you, it means I don't care about you. You don't matter to me. You're not worth much. You're not valuable in my eyes. When I'm rude, I'm just basically saying, I'm the only thing that matters. You don't matter. I do. So I just treat you with disgust or with disrespect, or I treat you rudely. Now, I thought today we would do a little survey on rudeness. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give you my top 10 forms of rudeness that irritate me, but I would like before that for you to turn to the person next to you and be rude. No. I want you to turn to the person next to you and mention one form of rudeness in our society that really irks you, okay? So turn to the person next to you. You may not know them or not. And just go, you know what really irritates me is. So take a minute and do that right now, okay? I'll wait. Go ahead. What really irritates me is. Okay, find somebody. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Some of you were saying, you know, what really irritates me is when I go to church and the pastor asks me to talk to the guy next to me. So I'm sorry. Here are my top 10 rude things that irritate me most. See if you agree with any of these. Number 10, people who phone you and ask, who's this, before identifying themselves. Does that bug you? You know, I go, who's this? I'm going to go, well, who are you? You called me. You know, I'm not telling you who I am till you tell me who you are. I mean, just that will show a little courtesy. Number 9, people who slurp their soup. You see, I believe that soup should be seen and not heard. It's just a little thing I have. Number 8, people who honk their horn in a traffic jam that's going nowhere anyway. I mean, get a life. You know, honking the horn isn't going to get them to go any faster. Number 7, people who play heavy metal music at full volume on their boombox at the beach. Number 6, people who light their cigarette, then hold it back at your booth in the restaurant instead of smoking it. Now look, if you smoke, man, just go ahead and smoke it, okay? Just smoke. I mean, I don't want to smoke it. Hold it back there. You know, you just go ahead and smoke it yourself. You know, I got to thinking this week, if I smoked, I'm not really the smoker. It's the cigarette that does the smoking. I'm just the sucker. You know? The cigarette smokes. I suck. Okay? Now, if you smoke, that was an unkind joke and it was rude and I'm sorry. It was all at your expense, but we all had a good laugh, so I'm sorry. Never mind. Number five, letting your children disturb everybody else at church. Number four, people who take more than 10 items to express checkout. Does that bother anybody else? Yeah, well, it gets me. Number three, people who litter my doorway with those little leaflets and door knocker things. I don't want it. You know, sorry, realtors, but, you know, just don't put it there. Number two, people who leave church early during the special music. And number one, people who come from opposite direction and steal my parking spot I've patiently waited for. You ever have that happen to you? You know, they come in the wrong way and grab your spot. I want to go, thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Yeah, and if you believe that, I got some stuff to sell you, too. I need to treat everybody with respect because God made everybody. Jesus died for everybody. It shows I really know God. And number four, because I'll get back whatever I give out. I need to be respectful because I will get back whatever I give out. It's the law of the harvest. It's the reciprocal rule. It's whatever goes around comes around. Now, whatever you want in life, the Bible has set it up in this way. God set it up. But whatever you want, you give out, you'll get back. If you want to be respected, it's real simple. Treat other people with respect. If you want to be treated and valued with dignity, it's real clear. Treat other people with value and dignity. If you want people to smile at you, you smile at them. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. The Bible says a man's harvest in life depends entirely on what he sows. You might write this verse down. Proverbs 11:17 says, you do yourself a favor when you're kind. In other words, it never pays to be rude. Great people, honestly, are just ordinary people who make people feel great. Great people make people feel great. And the most respected people are those who are the most respectful people. They show it, and so they receive it in life. Now, because of these four things, how can I show respect? In a world that's full of rudeness and disrespect, how can I show respect to others in a practical way? Let me give you five very practical ways to do this. On the back of your outline, number one, when I speak to other people, I need to be tactful, not just truthful. Be tactful, not just truthful. Because the primary way that we show respect is with our words. Look at this verse, Proverbs 15:4. Let's read it aloud together. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Now, what he's talking about here is tactfulness. And tactfulness is a quality that we don't hear too much about today, about watching how you say what you say. Now, have you discovered that the way you say something determines how well it's going to be received? Sure. You could say the same thing in different ways and it'll be accepted or rejected. In fact, have you noticed that even inflection can change the meaning of a word? Well, of course it does. I mean, listen to this. Hello? 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 Hello! Different meaning every time. Different mood every time. The Bible says if you want to get along in life, the secret is tactfulness. It's the emotional lubrication of life. It is the thing that makes relationships go better. It reduces friction. It's the key to a happy home. It's a key to a happy marriage. It's the key to getting along in life with other people. It's the key to strong friendships. Learning how to be truthful and tactful at the same time is an absolute essential ingredient of being respectful. People with tact have often a lot less to retract, I've discovered. You don't have to eat your words so often if you say them in a kind way. Now, I collect definitions, and so this week I collected some definitions on tact. Tact is what you think, but don't say. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Tact is when someone tells you to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes you look forward to the journey. Tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
So many people request copies of Rick's teachings every day for their personal audio libraries, and there are hundreds of messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together another great collection of his most requested teachings. It's called The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2. If you've been listening to Daily Hope for a while, some of these message titles are sure to ring a bell. They include Escaping the People Pleaser Trap, How to Keep from Stressing Out, How to Recognize God's Voice, Learning My True Identity in Christ, Set Free from Me, and Why God Made You. This very special 6-message collection is available in a boxed CD set or as high-quality downloadable MP3s. They're yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Get your copy of The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2, right now by going to rickwarren.org, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
I collect definitions, and so this week I collected some definitions on tact. Tact is what you think, but don't say. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Tact is when someone tells you to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes you look forward to the journey. Tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about. Tact is the art of telling someone he's open-minded when he's just got a hole in his head. Tact is just changing the subject without changing your mind. Tact is speaking the truth in love. Now, some people today don't understand tactfulness. In fact, they often confuse rudeness with frankness. And they think they're being frank in the way they talk when actually they're just being rude. I mean, have you ever heard people say, "Well, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may"? That's stupid. It's not smart at all, folks, and that is certainly not frankness. If I were to say to you, "I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall," it basically says, I couldn't care less about you. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if it demeans you or demoralizes you. I don't care at all about your reaction, because all I care about is just saying whatever I want to say. Folks, that's not candor. That's rudeness. That's not being frank. That's being mean to people. It's being disrespectful. Whenever you're frank with people, and God wants you to tell the truth, you need to say it in a non-demeaning and a respectful way. Whenever you start to be frank with someone, you need to ask yourself, why am I going to say this? Why? Am I going to say this to destroy them or to develop them? Am I going to say it to build them up or to tear them down? Am I going to say this to make a point that I get credit for, or am I doing this to try to find some common ground? Am I going to say this to protect people's dignity or to punish them? You see, a lot of times when we think we're being frank, we think we're having candor, we're just spouting off our anger. We're just venting our anger. And there's no value to that. That's nothing to be proud of. God says, be tactful and truthful at the same time. Number two, when I'm being served by people, I need to be understanding, not demanding. I need to be understanding, not demanding. One of the greatest tests of your character is how you treat people when they serve you. I'm talking about with waitresses or waiters, with clerks, with employees, with secretaries, with people who work for you, with your husband, with your wife, with children. When people are doing something for you, are you understanding or are you demanding? I often, when I'm hiring staff, take them to a restaurant and watch how they relate to the waitress. Because somebody who's rude and is demanding, not understanding, has a character flaw that we don't want. Luke tells us like this. Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." You see, I like what Eric Hoffer says. He says, "Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength." That's good, isn't it? Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Listen, it takes no intelligence at all to be rude. It's kind of like profanity. It's like cussing. It takes no IQ, no intelligence at all to cuss. I can teach a parrot with a pea brain how to say dirty words. So when you cuss, when you use profanity, that doesn't show your machismo, or if you're a woman, it doesn't show your assertiveness. It proves nothing about your intelligence. In fact, it takes no intelligence. It takes no character at all to cuss. It just means you have a limited vocabulary. On the other hand, it takes great character and great maturity and great strength to be understanding, not demanding of people. Really, the secret of service, of great service, is to treat people the way you would like to be treated. And when a waitress serves you, you be understanding that she may be under a lot of stress. She may have three kids at home and she's a single parent. Or the last three customers may have been rude to her. Or there's a slowdown in the kitchen because they got one cook instead of three, and it's not her fault.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought. But first, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal audio libraries. And there are hundreds of messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick put together an all-new collection of his most requested teachings. It's called The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
If you've been listening to Daily Hope for any time at all, you know that God wants to change your life. He wants you to become more and more like Jesus. He wants you to learn to love other people the way Jesus loves them. And he wants you to have more faith than you've ever dreamed possible. How does that happen? It happens because God is in the business of changing lives. And how does he transform us? Through his word. The more time you spend in the word of God, the more time you're going to become like God in your character. The more your life will be transformed. Now, to help you understand God's plan of transformation for you, I put together a collection of 6 messages that listeners have told me were particularly helpful when they needed a particular change in their life. I call these the transformation messages, and these messages will strengthen your spiritual and emotional health, and they're going to teach you how to make the changes to become all that God wants you to be and that you want to be. Now, I want to send these 6 messages to you as a gift, just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving here at the end of this year, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give. And I want to ask you this. As we approach this new year, would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. And by the way, let me know that you're praying for this ministry. Write me. I love to get stories from you. It's such a blessing to know that you're supporting this ministry in prayer. You can email me, rick@rickwarren.org. God bless you.
This very special 6 message collection is available as a box CD set or as high-quality downloadable MP3s. And they're yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Get your copy of The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2, right now by going to rickwarren.org or just call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.